STR podcasts are brought to you through the generous support of people just like you. You can support these podcasts by making a gift online at str.org or by phone at 1-800-2-REASON.
2,000 years ago, Paul sounded a warning to his protege, Timothy. He said that a time will come when people will no longer endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. This is in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4. Now, Paul's warning 2,000 years ago is still relevant today. Many Christians are turning to the myth of pro-gay theology, the belief that Scripture can be interpreted to be gay-affirming. Now, early advocates of pro-gay theology invented arguments that were really bad and that were very easily refuted. So they said things like, you know, David and Jonathan were gay, or that Jesus and John were homosexual lovers, because remember, the Bible describes John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Or that, according to Isaiah 53:8, Jesus was a eunuch. He was cut off, as it says, you know, castrated. Now, these types of claims have been abandoned in favor of more modern arguments. And here's the new approach that pro-gay theology advocates try to make. They say this: the Bible does condemn homosexuality, but only abusive or exploitive homosexual acts. Scripture, they say, prohibits homosexual gang rape, like, for example, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, pederasty, men who have sex with boys, master-slave sodomy, and other coercive same-sex acts. But since homosexuals today don't engage in those kinds of abusive behaviors, the biblical prohibitions of homosexuality don't apply to them. Now, that sounds clever, and unfortunately, many believers are buying it. This reinterpretive approach, though, is undermined in one step, and here's how. If you can show that any biblical passage categorically condemns all forms of homosexual sex, and not just abusive forms, then of course this new approach to pro-gay theology would be shown to be mistaken. Now it turns out that all of the five passages that directly address homosexuality entail a wholesale prohibition of all forms of homosexual sex. And these five passages are Leviticus 18:22, Leviticus 20:13, Romans 1:26-27, 1 Corinthians 6:9, and 1 Timothy 1:10. So let's just take Leviticus 18:22 for example. It simply reads this: "You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination." Okay? Now notice, the verse before it condemns child sacrifice, and the verse after it condemns bestiality. In other words, nowhere in the context is there any indication that any particular type of homosexual sex is in view, and no exception is made for loving, consensual homosexual relationships. The verse categorically condemns all same-sex sexual behavior. Now, the same is true with the almost identical verse in Leviticus 20:13, which says, "If there is a man who lies with a male, as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them." Now notice, in this passage, both participants are punished, which indicates this is a consensual act, it's not coercive. Now, had Leviticus here been referring to homosexual gang rape, or master-slave sodomy, or some other coercive act, then only one of the men would be punished, right? In Deuteronomy 22, verses 25 through 26, for example, if a man rapes a woman, then the aggressor alone is put to death. Since he is forcing himself on another person, this instance of sexual activity is truly coercive. In the case of homosexual sex in Leviticus, though, both men are punished because they mutually engage in the act. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not claiming that homosexual sex is a sin today because it's forbidden in Leviticus. The Mosaic Law was written for Israel's theocracy, which, of course, we are no longer under. My point here is simply to show that the attempt to reinterpret the Bible in this way is mistaken. And besides, the prohibition of homosexual sex is carried over into the New Testament and under the New Covenant of Christ in three of Paul's epistles. In Romans 1:26-27, for example, The Bible teaches a wholesale prohibition of all forms of homosexual sex. Again, okay. Starting in verse 18, Paul places his comments about same-sex behavior in the context of a creation narrative. Now, he doesn't specify the type of homosexual sex that's in view here. Okay. On the contrary, he points out that all homosexual sex abandons the male-female complementarity that God established in the Genesis creation account. So men, Paul writes, quote, abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts, end quote. And so they rejected the women God designed for them. Homosexual sex exchanges the natural male-female sex for unnatural male-male or female-female sex, what Paul calls an indecent act. Now, it's also worth noting the behavior that Paul describes was, quote, toward one another, men with men, end quote, indicating this was mutual, consensual, non-exploitive, reciprocal affection. Also, verse 26 mentions lesbianism, which was not exploitive in Paul's time. Indeed, by listing both males and females as violating this complementarity, Paul condemns all homosexual behavior. Now, of course, 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Timothy 1 also categorically reject all types of homosexual sex. But all that's needed, though, is to show that just one passage makes this point. And so therefore, you know, I don't have to go through all the other passages, but we've shown that at least three of them do. So therefore, the modern case for pro-gay theology fails. It's an example of how people, as Paul says, turn away their ears from the truth and reinterpret the Bible to fit their desires.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.